singing all the way around. Brother Randy Phillippe, he's been with us longer than I can remember. How many years? 20 plus years, him and his family. And so we're glad tonight for him to come and be to preach the word of the Lord. And so I hope you'll give him your undivided attention. Brother Randy, come right on. Do you want me to get you another song so you can get a breather? Oh, you're good to go. Hey, that's what I like.
Amen. See what we got. I got thumbs up. Amen.
Thumbs up.
Amen. Amen. Tell you what, it's an honor and privilege. Honor and privilege to be here. To be standing behind a pulpit. Who'd have thought? Who thinks? That God would ever use somebody like me. Y'all have known me a long time. Y'all all know me pretty good. But y'all really don't know me. Only God knows me. Amen. And if y'all knew what I knew, you'd wonder what in the world's he doing up there. It's very humbling. I appreciate the opportunity, preacher. I really do. Galatians chapter 5. That's where we're going to get things kicked off at, Galatians 5. I tell you what, that song we just sang, what a day that will be. Whew. That song does something for me. This has absolutely nothing to do with my message, but let me just tell you, that song does something for me. Because what a day that will be. We've all here in this church, we've gone through a lot. We've all had disappointments. We've all had losses. We've all had trouble, sickness, diseases. But thank God we're only here for a short time. And we have a promise in His Word that one day, amen, we can spend eternity with Him. No more sickness, no more pain, no more death, no more sorrow. And I tell you what, I'm looking for that day. Because what a day that will be. That second verse there. No more parting over there. Whoo, we've lost some loved ones, haven't we? We've lost some loved ones, but praise God. One day, there'll be no more parting over there, amen. We'll be with them with Jesus for eternity. Whew, that's a blessing. That's a blessing. Amen. Didn't mean to get off on that. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 16 and 17. Galatians 5, 16 and 17. As soon as I can see, I'll start. Galatians 5, verse 16. You got your place? Say amen. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Jump over there and look at verse 25 of the same chapter. It says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I want to preach for just a minute, daily walking with God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, I sure do love you. Lord, I sure do thank you for being so good to me, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity. And Lord, right now I pray, Lord, that you will just move myself out of the way. Lord, move all pride. And I just pray that you will use me as your mouthpiece, Lord. I pray that you will open hearts to hear what thus saith the Lord. Hear what your word says, Lord. Lord, I pray that you will just give your people some help. We sure would give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Daily walking with God. I tell you what, there's no greater feeling. There's no greater joy, no greater peace, no greater comfort than to be right with God. Amen. Than to be daily walking in the Spirit. I tell you what, that's not an easy task, though. It sure is good when you're doing it. Amen. You have a peace about you. You have a joy about you. Things that normally make you mad, they don't make you mad anymore. Because that's the Spirit of God. When you're walking with Him, He's there. He's there to help you. He's there to help you fight off that flesh that makes you angry and all that. But it's not an easy task, especially in the world we live in now. It takes a hunger and it takes a thirst for the things of God. It takes discipline. It takes hard work. It takes time. It takes a want to in East Texas terms. You got to want it. It takes a want to, amen. But I tell you what, it takes time. It takes discipline. It takes hard work. The flesh hates every one of them. Y'all keep that in mind. The flesh hates all of them. And like we read earlier, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. It's a daily battle, and that's just the Christian life. But if you look over there in Matthew 5, 6, you don't have to turn there. It says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen. Do you want to be blessed? I do. Do you want to have the blessings of God on your life? Do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God? I'm not talking about salvation. We all know when we get saved, the Holy Spirit of God comes and lives in our heart. I'm talking about, do you want to be filled with the Spirit of God and have a walk with God, have a daily walk in the Spirit, daily walk with God? That's what we're talking about. You're going to have a hunger and a thirst for the things of God. You're going to have a hunger and thirst for the Word of God. You know what? If you'll have that hunger, if you'll have that thirst for righteousness, the verse says you shall be filled. It doesn't say you can be filled. It doesn't say you might be filled. If you'll have that hunger and thirst, it doesn't say we have to do anything else. You just got to want it. You got to have that hunger. You got to have that thirst. All your attention has to be drawn toward God. And if you'll have that hunger and you'll have that thirst, he said, and you will be filled. And like there in verse 25, it says, you can live in the Spirit and daily walk in the Spirit. You can do that if you have that hunger and that thirst. Verse 16 of Galatians 5 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Like I said earlier, that's pretty much the Christian life, isn't it? Back and forth. I've heard people say, you know, it's like the cartoon. You got the little good guy on one shoulder, the demon on the other shoulder and all that, and you got to decide which one you're going to listen to. Well, that's not what we're talking about here. That's not what it says. It says, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not. It doesn't say you'll be able to fight it. It said you shall not. If you will walk in the Spirit, God will fight your battles for you. That doesn't mean you're not going to go through some stuff, but you're going to have to give the flesh up, and we'll discuss that a little while later. But verse 17, it says, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. It's a daily battle. It's a daily fight. Paul said over there toward the end of his life in 2 Timothy 4:7, he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Boy, I tell you what, living in this wicked world that we live in, it's going to be a fight. It's going to be a fight. And the main fight's going to be yourself. It's going to be this old fleshly body that we live in. It's a daily fight. It's not even a daily fight. It's an hourly fight. It's a minute fight. It's a second-to-second fight with me sometimes, amen? That's just the truth of the matter. This old flesh, it'll get you messed up. You know, the flesh loves the world, and it loves all the things of the world. Earlier we talked about how much time, how much hard work, how much discipline it actually does take to walk with God, to walk in the Spirit. I tell you what, this old flesh hates it. You get home from work, you're tired, you want to sit down, you don't want to be bothered, you just want to relax and watch TV. Or you want to relax and play on your phone a little while or look at something on your phone because the flesh enjoys that. When what we should be doing is pushing that flesh to the side and try to walk in the Spirit, amen? Look toward the things of God, getting God's Word. You know, the world has a lot of things to offer that are going to appeal to your flesh. Young people, y'all better get a hold of this. The world's got a lot of things to offer that's going to appeal to your flesh. A lot of things that's going to take your eyes off God. I'm not going to name them all. Some of them ain't worth mentioning. But Hollywood has all that stuff that looks good. I'll mention a few. All the drugs, all the sex, all the alcohol, the smoking. Hollywood, you watch it on TV, boy, it sure looks fun, doesn't it? It looks fun. I like your answer. Lucas said, uh-uh. I like that, amen. Amen. Good job, Brother Ron, Miss Kelly. Amen. And his parents, that's a good point. As parents, it's our job to let them know, hey, it looks fun. But sin's only fun for a season, amen. It'll take you further down than you ever wanted to go and keep you there longer than you ever want to be. You better beware of the devil and all his wicked devices. You know, isn't it something? God don't miss a lick, does he? The Bible says all his wicked devices. It's a device, is it not? God didn't miss a lick. It's a device. It's a wicked device, you ask me. Sure, they come in handy. Sure, they can be a help. But if you're not careful, real easy, the devil can take you there. He can take all the time in the world. The phone takes up most of our time, if we're honest with each other. I am. I do. Takes up most of my time, unfortunately. I hate to say it. I'm ashamed, and I can't daily walk with God when my focus is on something besides God. Amen. Lord, help me. TV's bad enough, but now we got phones. We got tablets. And our young people, our kids, hours and hours, they'll sit there, they'll play on the phone, they'll play games, they'll watch YouTube and do all this other stuff for hours and hours. And here we are, but y'all need to get off that. Why don't you go outside and play for a while? You've been on your phone way too long for hours and hours, and we're over here doing this, the same thing. We're doing the same thing, telling our kids, hey, get off the phone. By a show of hands, all you kids in here, by a show of hands. And yes, I want to see hands. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Tanner, you better raise your hand high. I'm guilty, amen? Hey, we need to be teaching our children. There's more to this life than what's on the phone. There's more to this life than what's on TV. That's nothing. The things of this world are going to pass away. They're going to burn up one of these days. And what we do here on this earth is all that matters. All that matters. The devil's here. He's here to kill, steal, and destroy. He'll do whatever he can to ruin your testimony and make you live a defeated Christian life. He'll suck all the joy out of you. Well, you want nothing to do with God, really. You might still go through the motions, but in all honesty, deep down within, you don't have that hunger and you don't have that thirst for the things of God. That's a scary place to be. I know, because I've been there. I tell you what, it's so much better to be walking hand in hand with God. It makes me think of way back when in the Garden of Eden, back in the early part of Genesis, when God used to walk with Adam before the sin. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same God that walked with Adam, I'm here to tell you, he can walk with you if you let him. If you'll get sin out of your life. Well, I tell you what. Boy, you're talking about under conviction. Whew. Man, Lord help me. But that's why the Bible says over there in Colossians 3, verse 2, it says, set your affections on things above, not on the earth. Not on things on the earth. You've got to look toward God. Quit looking on things of this earth. Quit looking toward your flesh. What's pleasurable? Look toward God. And if you'll ever get there, if you'll ever truly get there, if you'll ever get to where you can walk hand in hand with God, have a full-on fellowship with God daily, there ain't nothing like it. There ain't nothing like it. When you're down, when you're discouraged, when you're beat up, when your dad's dying of cancer, when you've lost loved ones, oh, if you're daily walking with God, he'll get you through it. He'll keep you having joy in all the bad times. Having joy through all the hurt, through all the pain. Yes, amen. Whew. It's going to take a daily walk with God. The word daily appears 63 times in our Bible in 62 verses. I had to look that up. But 63 times. And so I got to look into some verses. Well, what does the Bible say about daily stuff? Sometimes it's just the word daily, but sometimes it's telling us, hey, maybe we should daily do this. And I found a few things that we should daily do. And if we'll do those things daily, then we can have that walk with God. We can walk in the Spirit so we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know, we all get up every day. We get up, we pretty much all have our own daily routine every morning. I'd be willing to bet every one of us do. We get up. We stretch, whatever you do, I don't know what you do. You brush your teeth, put on deodorant, take a shower. I don't know, don't really care. But we all have this every day. We do this to get our fleshly body ready for the day. We do this. We eat so we can be nourished for the day. We stand in front of the mirror for hours upon hours, Tanner. I'm kidding. for hours upon hours so we can look good for the world. Well, let me ask you this. That's good. It's good to have your physical body healthy. It's good to take care of your physical body. You should. It's the temple of God. But what about your spiritual body? What about your spiritual life? Do you take the same concern for it as you do your physical body? It's more important than your physical body. Because if your spiritual body is right, so to speak, God will take care of your physical body. It's all on Him anyway. You know, there's some things that the Bible says that we should do daily. And if we will listen to what thus saith the Lord and do what He says in His Word, we can live a victorious Christian life. And we can walk in fellowship with God. If you would, turn over there to Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And He said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross, here it is, daily, and follow me. Well, the first thing I see here about daily, we should daily deny ourselves. Boy, that's a tough one, isn't it? We should daily deny ourselves. That's a hard thing to do because of pride. We don't like denying ourselves. We like our flesh. We like having fun. We like doing stuff to make the flesh feel good. But I tell you what, if we will pray like Jesus did, not my will, but thine be done. If we will come to the realization like Paul did in Romans 7:18, he said, for I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. You know, as long as we're here on this earth in our fleshly bodies and because of our sinful nature, we're going to have to deny our flesh daily. Titus 2:12, it says, deny ungodliness and worldly lust. And it says to live soberly, live righteously, godly in this present world. And that's what we got to do. We got to deny all ungodliness. That's what our flesh likes. We got to deny our flesh. It likes ungodliness. It likes worldly lust. And we're to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. We need to swallow our pride and realize, just like the Bible says, there's none good. No, not one. As much as we like to think that we're good, that we're somebody, we're not. We're not. The second thing I see in the same Luke chapter 9, verse 23, we're to daily take up our cross. You know, this goes hand in hand with denying ourselves. You know, the cross, that was an instrument of execution. We're to take up our cross. We need to die to ourselves. We need to die to the desires of our flesh. We need to put them on the cross and kill them. Romans 8:13 says, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. You either going to fulfill the lust of the flesh and die spiritually, or you're going to take up your cross. You're going to die to yourself and die to the desires of the flesh, and you're going to walk with God. The choice is yours. Which one are you going to choose? You going to choose the flesh or you going to choose God? That's a tough one. It's a daily battle. And that's why we're talking about daily. If you'll turn to Psalms 86, verse 3. Psalms chapter 86, verse 3. The third thing we see here is you should daily pray. Psalms 86, verse 3. This is a prayer of David. David says in verse 3, be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. You know, Matthew 6:33, we all know it. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Are you seeking him daily? Are you crying unto him daily like the psalmist wrote? Are you praying daily when you wake up in the morning? Is the first thing you do is pray? It's the first thing you should do. Right when you get up, pray. Be like, Lord, thank you for another day. Lord, thank you for letting me wake up. Thank you for my family. Thank you for all the many blessings that you give me that I'm so undeserving of. Lord, thank you. It says over there in Philippians, I believe, it talks about in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request be made known to God. There's got to be some thankfulness. If you'll have a thankful heart, you'll want to pray. You'll want to pray because nothing we have is anything that we've done. Everything that we have, anything that we are, anything that we do is all because of God and what He has done. It's nothing that we have done, and we should thank Him for it. We should pray and ask Him to help us to deny ourselves and to be able to walk in the Spirit every day, right off the get-go. Lord, help me to walk in the Spirit so I cannot sin, so I can deny my flesh. We should pray for our church. We should pray for our church family, for the needs. We should pray for one another. We should pray, Lord, find me somebody today to witness to. That's why we're here. That's what the Great Commission is, isn't it? Lord, put somebody in my path that I can give the gospel to, that maybe you can save them. Maybe you can snatch them up as a brand from the burning like you did me. Because let me tell you, that's the best thing that's ever happened to me. The best thing. You know, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, pray without ceasing. We all know that doesn't mean we're going to be on our knees all day or in a prayer closet all day praying. It's a spirit of prayer. It's a mindset of prayer. It's having God on your mind all day. And if you're walking with God daily, you'll have that mindset. When things come along in life, close call. Ooh, Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you for saving me there. You hear about somebody having a crash, whoo, Lord, thank you, it's nobody we knew. Lord, be with them. It's just a mindset. It's a mindset of prayer. Lord, help that brother. Somebody comes to your mind, Lord, I don't know what's going on, but pop to my mind, hey, pray for that sister. Pray for that brother. It's a mindset. It's a spirit of prayer. You know, daily prayer is important. That's how we communicate with God. And God answers us back through His Word. That's our communication system. We pray. Jesus takes it to God. God speaks through us through His Word. You know, all through the Gospels, time and time again, I didn't mark any of them. Y'all can find them yourself. But time and time again, you see Jesus praying. Well, if we can't use Jesus as an example, He'd pray all night. All night, and wonder why His disciples were sleeping. All night. Lord, help me. I have a hard time taking 5-10 minutes out of my day to pray. Daily prayer. The last thing we see here is daily search of Scripture, Acts 17. Acts chapter 17, verse 11. Acts 17, verse 11. Daily search the Scriptures. In verse 11 it says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in the end that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Can I ask you, how's your Bible reading? Do you search the Scripture daily? How do you receive the Word of God? Do you receive it like they did with a readiness of mind? Whether you're reading the Word of God or whether you're hearing the Word of God preached, how do you respond when God steps on your toes? That's a tough one, isn't it? When you're reading and God starts convicting your heart about something that's going on in your life, maybe some sin, it might not even be sin, but it might be something else. Be like, God's like, you might not need to do that. We all have our personal conviction God gives us. None of our convictions are the same. There's some that are cut and dry. But everybody has their own convictions. It ain't none of my business what your conviction is. That's between you and God. But I tell you what, when He steps on your toes, how do you respond? When He shows you something in your life that you need to change or get right, how do you respond? Do you bow up and grieve the Holy Spirit so you can fulfill the lust of the flesh? Because the flesh doesn't like it when your toes are getting stepped on. Let me rephrase that. My flesh doesn't like it when my toes are getting stepped on. It doesn't. I hate it. But when that conviction starts coming, how miserable is a Christian? When that conviction comes and you're not miserable, you might second guess your salvation. Because I can tell you, there's no salvation without conviction. There's no conversion without conviction if you want to keep it in C's. Do you bow up or do you bow down and get things right? You know, it's so much easier to just bow down, get it right, say, Lord, I am sorry. Lord, I hear what you're saying. Lord, forgive me. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us in all unrighteousness. Well, if he's faithful and just, he tells us he's going to forgive us. All we have to do is confess and repent and mean it. Walking with God in the Spirit so he can help you fight off the fiery darts of Satan and be able to tell the flesh no. It's what we need. It's why we need to search the Scriptures. We need to daily read God's Word so he can speak to us. You know, if we only pray and ask God for stuff, if we only pray but don't read our Bible, it's kind of a one-sided relationship, isn't it? And I can tell you, a one-sided relationship doesn't work. Why don't you try that with your wife? Try that with your husband or your parents or your kids. See how that works out for you. Let me know. If one of y'all actually tried, I'd like to know how that worked out for you. It doesn't work. You cannot have communion. You cannot have fellowship without communication. Back and forth to one another. We communicate with God through prayer, and he communicates with us through his word. And if you're not reading it, he's not talking to you. You might say you heard him somewhere else and all that. And I'm not saying God can't bring you remembrance of something somewhere else and speak to you in different ways, because he can. I don't put God in that box personally. But it's all going to be through his word. If there is anything that you ever think God might have told you and it does not line up with the word of God, it's wrong. God has did not tell you that. We need to search the Scripture so we won't be blown around with every wind of doctrine. We should know whether these things were so. That's what it said in the last part of our verse. They received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. We shouldn't take anybody's word on anything. I don't care who you are. Preacher tells us all the time, don't take my word for it. Take God's word for it. God's always right. We're always wrong. Please don't take my word for anything. I might throw my opinion out. If it doesn't line up with the word of God, my opinion is wrong. I might say something during preaching, whatever. If it doesn't line up with the word of God, I'm wrong. Right here, it's the final authority. We all know that. We've heard it preached for years, amen? Don't trust what I tell you, because I'll lead you astray. Not on purpose, but it could happen. That's why we are to search the Scriptures, so we'll know. Is what he's saying true? Because when we're out and about in this world, there's all kinds of religions, there's all kinds of doctrines, and people like to talk big, they like to talk Christianity, they say they know the Bible, and they'll give you their opinion. And there's something on the inside. If you've been searching the Scriptures, if you've been hiding the Scriptures in your heart, something on the inside says, something's just not right there. I don't know what it is, but something's just not right. And then you can go back, look in the Bible, and find out, yep, that's where it was. That was wrong. That didn't line up. So they're wrong. The Bible's right. We should read daily so we might not sin against God. If you would, turn to Psalms 119. Psalms 119. This will be the last passage you have to turn to. Psalms 119, verses 9 through 11. Talking about reading daily so we might not sin against God. It's a familiar passage with all of us. Verse 9 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? That's saying, how shall a young man cleanse his way? Well, it's fixing to tell you how. By taking heed thereto unto the word of God, with my whole heart I have sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. You're going to have to listen to what God tells us in his word. Not only are you going to have to listen, you're going to have to heed it. You're going to have to obey it. And that's how we can cleanse our way. That's what it said in the first part of the verse there. And that's how we can walk with God. And that's how we can have fellowship with him. We're going to have to listen to what he says. We're going to have to heed what he says. We're going to have to obey what he says. And that's how we cannot sin against God. Psalms chapter 1, verse 2 says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." It says over there, "With my whole heart have I sought thee." That's what it said in verse 10 of Psalm 119. "With my whole heart have I sought thee." Are you seeking him with your whole heart? Not part of your heart. Not when it's convenient. Your whole heart. It takes a whole new meaning if you actually think about it. Your whole heart. Have you ever found something you like so much and you just all your focus goes into it? Fishing, hunting, maybe you're researching something really cool to buy. Whatever it may be, a new boat. I like researching stuff because if I'm going to spend my well-earned dollars, I want something good. Well, I want something cheap that's good, if that makes any sense. So I research and research, be like, is this cheap thing any counts? I don't know. That's just me, but that's what we seek. That's where our heart is. That's where our mind is. It's focused on that one thing. That's what we hunger and thirst for, is that one thing that we're concentrating on right then. That's the same thing here. If we will hunger and thirst after the Word of God, and if we will put our delight in the law of God, that means put our delight in the Word of God and His law, and if we'll meditate on it day and night, we can walk with God. And friend, I'm here to tell you, there's nothing better than walking with God, just like there's nothing worse than being on the outskirts of God if you're a Christian. Miserable. Miserable. You might put on a good show. You might put on a smiley face, but deep within, you're miserable. I'm speaking from experience. I know these things. Are you seeking him with your whole heart? Do you love the Word of God? If you love something, you spend a lot of time with it, don't you? I love my wife. I love spending time with her. Most of the time. Well, let me ask you, how much do you love the Word of God? Is your Bible sun faded from sitting on the dash of the car from Monday through Saturday? Maybe off the car for an hour Wednesday? Is your Bible dusty? You got to wipe the dust off so we can bring it to church on Sunday? I'm asking. I don't know. That's between you and God. But I'm telling you, daily Bible reading is so important because that's how we learn everything. That's how we learn we're sinning. That's how we learn how to live. How to walk with God. It's all in the Bible. And if we're not reading it, we're not going to know how to walk with God. How to live a sanctified life. We're not going to know if we don't read the Word of God. You know, it's important to walk with God daily. It's important to die to yourself daily, to take up your cross daily and follow God, to pray daily, to read your Bible daily, and to walk in fellowship with God. It's important. You might ask, well, why is that so important? Well, you know what? We're not guaranteed tomorrow. We're not guaranteed our next breath. Every breath that we take is a gift from God, and we should thank Him every day for every breath. It's a gift, just like salvation. He's letting us. He's letting us live. Are you living for Him? Are you daily walking with Him? You know, when He comes to take His children home, when that trumpet sounds and our loved ones come with Him and we get called up in the air, what a day that will be. What a day that will be. When that happens, or maybe when He calls you home, what you going to be doing? Are you going to be daily walking with God? Are you going to be like, oh, hey, Lord, good to see you? Or is He going to find you? Are you going to need to be hiding somewhere because of what you're caught up in? Because you're not in fellowship with Him. Are you going to be ashamed when He comes? It's going to be a wonderful day regardless. But are you going to be ashamed? Could you imagine the shame that you would have if you're not living right with God and here He shows up? Well, can I tell you He's here? Something to think about. Are you walking in the Spirit and the flesh? Choice is yours. The choice is yours. I'm going to leave it with that. There's a bunch of other dailies in the Bible. Talks about daily witnessing over there in Acts 5. Talks about daily exhorting one another, which we should do over there in Hebrews 3. You might look it up. It's a great word search sometime. But daily. Daily things that we can do to have a closer walk with God. Daily things we can do to walk in the Spirit so we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. To walk with God so when we're out in this old wicked world that we'll know how to handle it. We'll be able to handle it. And God can help us fight our battles. We can't do it on our own even though we try all the time. We can't do it on our own. So let me leave you and ask you, what are you doing with God? Do you have a daily walk with Him? I'm not asking you, do you dress right? Do you come to church? Do you do what Christians do? Do you put on a smile? This is something you're going to have to ask between you and God. Between you and God. He knows, and you know. What are you doing with Him? Are you saved? It's Wednesday night. I've been talking to saved people this whole time. But let me ask you, are you saved? If you're not saved, you have no idea about the joy, about the peace, about the comfort that He can give you when you're walking with Him. When times are bad, you have no idea the joy and peace that He can give you. If you're not saved, why? Everyone here has heard the gospel 1,000 times over. God loves you. He died for you. All you have to do is accept Him. Repent of your sins. Call on His name. He'll save you. It's that simple. We try to make it hard. It's not hard. Because of the blood. Preacher, amen.
Let's get ready to sing. What number are we singing?
354.
354, if you're able to stand, then we'll